right, what's up, what's up? This is Pauly Shore. I don't have to say it so loud. It's actually a little bit more mellow here. This is the Pauly Shore podcast show. We have a special new co-host, Mr. Jamar Neighbors.
Yeah.
Jamar Neighbors, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, before we get into my relationship with you, which is, I don't want to say minimal, but we don't know each other that well, which we'll get into it in just a little bit. But thank you for sitting in with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. for sure. We have a couple great guests on the show today. We have an attorney friend of mine, Peter Paterno. No relationship to
Joe Paterno.
That would be great. Yeah, that wouldn't be good. And then, but Joe Paterno, he wasn't really involved with that. I think it was guilty by association.
Yeah.
And then we also have, you want to tell us who else is on the show?
And then we have Stephanie Simbari and Scout Durwood. They are from the show Funny Girls. It's a very good show on the Oxygen Channel.
Yeah, and you said you saw the first episode?
Yeah, I saw the first episode. It was actually really, it was really good.
Yeah, you liked it?
Yeah, it was really
good. Yeah, yeah. And what's it about?
Just about women comics going through shit in comedy. You know.
It's a good show?
Yeah, it's a really good show.
My friend Jason Sands produced it. Really cool show. We're actually at Boa Steakhouse. I don't know if you guys want to pan around.
Yeah.
We're also filming you guys. It's pretty cool. They gave us the whole restaurant here. All right, coming up next on the Pauly Shore podcast show, we got Jamar Neighbors.
Yeah.
What's up? And tell us who's coming up next. It's Peter.
We have Peter Paterno.
He's an attorney.
Yes, he is.
He's an attorney. So
Dre's attorney. He's for real attorney.
Oh, wait, 30 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to Mars.
Metallica.
Metallica, for real. Skrillex.
Linda Ronstadt.
Not Prince.
Not Prince. Right after this, you guys, Peter Paterno. So Peter and I, we met. Why don't you tell him? You heard the story on Howard Stern, right? When about discovering me and shit?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the story about Pauly is that... wants me to stick the mic up my nose. Okay, yeah. So my story about Pauly is I worked at Disney. I was running the record company. The film people, they would rather I weren't running the record company or even worked at the company, and they would give me these scripts to read, and I would hate them all. And then they gave me Encino Man. I said, I like this script. And they looked at me like, we're not making that movie. That's crazy. Of course, that's the one you would like. And I said, well, there's a guy you should make it with. And they go, who's that? And I go, it's Pauly Shore. And, of course, they were all film guys, so they had no idea who Pauly Shore was.
Right, right.
So we were sitting in a movie meeting with the movie guys, and it was 4 o'clock. And I said, well, turn on the TV. Turn on MTV.
Mm.
And it was totally Pauly.
Right.
And I said, that's the guy. And they look at me like, now we have to listen to you about casting decisions.
Right.
Screw you.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing was, Jeffrey Katzenberg, who was no big fan of mine,
Wasn't a big fan?
No, he wasn't.
At the time. Because you guys, Hollywood Records was like the record company, Jamar, at Disney.
Right.
So they did all the Disney movies, right?
Yeah, we did the soundtracks.
Like the labels, the label, yeah.
We were the label.
And you were in charge of it.
Yeah, I was in charge.
Yeah, so it was your job to kind of do albums or do CDs at the time for all the Disney movies.
Well, no, and to sign acts. We signed Queen. We signed Bush. We signed real acts.
Okay.
Yeah, but we were like a real label, but we were not good at it.
Right. You're like a bastard child, I remember.
Right.
I remember you always show up in sweats and hats and shit, and you were, right?
Well, I mean, you know.
Like the sub.
So like Lion King and all that, that's all y'all
show? No, Lion King was Disney Records. They only consolidated Disney Records together with Hollywood after they fired me.
You have a lot of points for me if you made Can You Feel the Love Tonight.
No, that wasn't me. Although, I will tell you, I took, when they were doing that movie that was in sketch form, I had George Michael did an album for us. He did a Queen tribute record. And I brought George Michael in to check that out, and he didn't feel the love that night. So they gave it to Elton John.
So you told them to watch me?
Yeah, and so they just went, you know, this music guy who can't even run a music company is telling us how to run the film company. No. But Jeffrey, that night, weirdly enough, called me and said, tell me more about this Pauly Shore guy. Mm. And I go, well, I don't know him, but I could tell you, you know, he's the Weasel and he does his stuff on MTV.
The Weasel?
Right.
The Weasel. Yo, I'm over here, bro.
I know.
Come on.
I was about to.
Yeah, okay.
Man,
go on, be honest.
I ain't even seen Encino Man.
You're working for him. You don't even know that Weasel.
It's a good movie. Hannah, you want to sit in for him now? Let him sit over there. We can change it real fucking quick. I don't really care at this point. So Jeffrey, tell us who Jeffrey Katzenberg is, because a lot of people, I mean, you and I obviously know who he is. Do you know who Jeffrey Katzenberg is?
No.
You don't?
Well, most people do, because he runs now DreamWorks Animation, and
He's probably one of the top 10 most powerful guys in the entertainment business.
Yeah, at the time he ran the film company at Disney. He ran all the Disney films, Disney, Hollywood films, and whatever else, Touchstone. He was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, I don't think he had a lot of love for me. But somehow he got it. I'll give him credit for this. He called me up that night and said, "So tell me about Pauly Shore."
Mm.
And I told him about, you know, MTV and Totally Pauly and the Wheeze, and he said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "I think the guy's got some talent, and I think he could have his minute of fame."
Mm.
And I said, "And you should own it."
Mm.
And so Jeffrey said, "All right, thanks." And he hung up, and then...
Yeah, they called me in to Disney. It was me, I think, my manager at the time, Michael Rotenberg, and Adam Bennett, I think. And we went in to see Jeffrey Katzenberg, and I remember... I dressed kind of crazy back then. You know what I mean? You don't know how I used to dress.
I seen like pictures.
Pictures. Yeah, I was like, you know, I was dressed almost like a girl, kind of. Yeah, just like my mom's closet and whatever.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, yeah. And I went in there and I sat with Jeffrey Katzenberg, and they offered me the role of the caveman. Right? Remember?
Yeah, sure.
And I was like, cavemans don't speak. And so they rewrote it and did that. So this guy is kind of responsible for my career in a way. I mean, you're the one that stepped up for me.
Well, I did, but, you know, I think you would have made it somehow, some other way.
Yeah, somehow.
Because I was
looking at some of your stuff online, and you were responsible for Prince as well.
No.
No?
No.
Didn't you sign Prince? Hannah.
No.
What did it say?
It said you were a lawyer.
I was a lawyer.
For Prince.
Yeah.
And I was even the assistant lawyer. I wasn't the real lawyer. I was the day-to-day lawyer.
Online says you are his first lawyer.
No, Lee Phillips was his first lawyer. I worked for Lee Phillips. But the first thing I did when I walked into my... I was like 27 years old. Mm-hmm. I walked into the law firm, and they dumped these files on me and said, "Here, you work on this." and I pick it up, and it's just some guy called Prince. And I go, "Who's this?" You know, because he hadn't put a record out yet. He goes... "That's why we're giving it to you. Nobody knows who he is. You deal with it."
And so, what year was this?
78, something like that.
So, wow.
So they just dumped the Prince files on me, and I was the Prince guy. And then all of a sudden, Purple Rain came out, and Lee came into my office and said, "Maybe I should be the Prince guy from now on." I go, "Okay."
So that's crazy. So Peter, you've been at this for a long time. Because where you're at right now, I mean, you have Metallica, right?
Yeah.
Do you work with Metallica? You just had lunch with Dexter from The Offspring upstairs?
No, I talked to him on the phone.
Oh, you talked to him on the phone?
Yeah.
So you're working with Dexter from The Offspring. Pharrell?
Pharrell, yes.
Pharrell.
And you bailed Dr. Dre out of jail?
No, I wasn't working with that. I've worked in Post-Felon. Post-Felon, I've worked with Dre.
And then
since
also
like 96.
Linda Ronstadt and Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
So are you the one that orchestrated the Beats by Dre... thing with Jimmy Iovine or what? With the whole con... You must have had your fingers in that.
I represented Dr. Dre. I think Jimmy Iovine orchestrated the whole thing.
That whole deal?
Yeah, Jimmy Iovine.
Yeah, because everyone knows... You know how much money Dre made on the beats? It's like a billion. Yeah, no, like 750 million. Do you have that, Hannah? Do you know?
I thought it was somewhere like he's like a billionaire now or something.
I'm not at liberty to say. He did very well.
Isn't that insane?
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool just to have, because he probably thought he'd never like make all that money based off of like headphones. It's a fashion thing though.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I think I never underestimate Dre or bet against him.
I mean,
you know, look, it's like I tell people, like if I come into your office in 1988 or 89 and said, "Here, I got this record, and here's like the It's like the main song. It's Fuck the Police, right? Or in 1993, I walk in and go, look, I just finished my album. See that? That's a marijuana leaf. Let me read you the lyrics. Nigger motherfucker, nigger motherfucker. Mm. All right? Or in 1998, I come to you and say, I got a white rapper, okay? Mm. I think everybody would kick him out of the office,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
except
yeah.
for maybe Jimmy, right?
Right.
So then in 2006, when he says headphones, I go, well.
Wow. Yeah, you weren't surprised about it. We're here at the Boa Steakhouse in Sunset, and as a kid, I used to go down to Tower Records.
Yeah.
And I used to buy CDs.
Yep.
And that's just, that's dormant.
Yeah.
So how do these bands, do they really, like, I know that, what was it, Taylor Swift, she sued Spotify.
She just wouldn't put her records
on
Spotify.
Or she wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, because when you were doing it, it was very traditional, and now it's untraditional. So how do people make money and, like...
Well, right now, they don't make a ton of money from recorded music. They use the recorded music to build up touring and merchandising, and you know, they get sponsorship and endorsement deals. But there's a chance that business could come back because of things like Spotify. Mm. If, you know, at some point or another, I could see a world where 100 million people subscribe to Spotify or Beats Music or the equivalent. Because it's so easy and convenient. You can hear any music you want whenever you want it. It's not worth stealing anymore, you know?
Right.
So for like $10 a month, why wouldn't you have it? You know, you can listen to whatever you want. So,
yeah. Ari?
And, you know, I mean, like...
Ari, so can I say you're like WikiLeaks?
I'm a big pirate. I pirate a lot of things, but I agree with you that now
gotta be honest with
movies,
you know, Ari represents a lot of kids out there that are listening to you and going, yeah, great, I'm still gonna rip it off.
I mean,
off.
It's not worth it anymore.
Yeah, I'll openly say I was one of the first to use Napster, and I would steal music from me and my friends.
I was one of the first to sue Napster.
There you go. Oh.
There you go.
But I agree with you 100% now that with Netflix for television movies and services like Spotify and iTunes and Google Play, music is so easy and convenient to get. It's not worth stealing anymore. It's a much bigger hassle to steal now than it is to just
get. Yeah, for $10 a month, it won't even pay for weed. I mean, what's the point, you know? At least before you sit there and go, I'll buy the CD or I can buy a bag of weed. I think I'll steal the CD and buy the bag of weed.
So were you part of that Napster lawsuit?
Yeah.
That with Fred Durst when that whole thing?
No, Metallica. I represented Metallica.
Oh, shit. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that about?
Well, I mean...
Tell us what Napster is, because I know Napster was so long ago.
It was...
Napster and MySpace is like in that same kind of umbrella.
Well, MySpace is more like Facebook. Napster is more like... It was a file sharing service, so...
Like LimeWire?
Yeah, like LimeWire or any of the file sharing services. So you could go to Napster and hear anything you want for free. You didn't have to pay for it anymore. And basically, that's what it was. And when I told Dr. Dre about that, he goes, so I work 24/7 in the studio making this shit, and somebody can just steal it from me. Fuck that.
So he said, "Fuck the police."
Yeah. So he joined Metallica in the lawsuit against Napster.
And what was the outcome?
Well, the outcome was Napster went out of business, and we settled for a confidential amount of money.
Wow.
And you know, but then they went out of business because the record companies kept suing them, and then it morphed into LimeWire, it morphed into there, you know, all sorts of different things, and now hopefully it will morph into a paying subscription service. Which, you know, look, at the end, those file sharing services were a nightmare. There would be viruses in them. They would deliver bad stuff. The record companies would put a bunch of, you know, fake files in there, and it's like for $10 a month, really, you got so little, you know, money that you'd rather waste your time sifting through crappy files that sound like garbage, so. Theoretically, it'll work out. I don't know.
So thank you for sitting with us.
No problem.
I just wanted to sit down with you. I know you're an old friend from several years ago. I know that you were part of the reason why I wound up at Disney. So
you're a Disney kind of guy.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Polly. Amen.
And we are back here. That was quite an interesting interview. It seemed like Peter was very, I'd have to say, kind of handled like reclusive. What's the word? Like
just
short, kind
of.
He
really
didn't want to get. He didn't want. Peter didn't want to get too detailed. What do you think?
I mean, his job is the law.
Yeah,
it's like dealing with contracts and stuff. So confidentiality is probably a huge thing for him. He probably doesn't want to say too much.
Mm.
man, if I ask you a question, tell me. Tell me, right?
Yeah, I want to know.
You just always have to be nervous. He's, you know, to say something that you... He deals with all, like, the business.
What was he afraid of? That I was going to bite him if he said the wrong thing?
No, he was great. If you say too much, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, he did sign the piece of paper, though, right? That it's okay for him to be on the show?
Yeah. The only thing that would have been cooler is if he told us who shot Tupac.
Right.
If he said that.
Yeah. No, but Peter, like he said in the interview, he was the one that kind of brought me up to Jeffrey Katzenberg. So Peter's always been an old friend of mine. And, you know, he's a big, big player in this town of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank so much Peter for being my friend, and so much Peter for sitting in and giving us short answers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not getting too detailed because, you know, because this could have aired and what could have happened?
It could have been too.
Been a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it wasn't. It was cool. So thank you, Peter. Give up to Peter for being on the show. Thank you so much. Peter Paterno. And then coming up next, you want to tease to that? These are some of your girlfriends from the store.
These are my ladies. No, they're just very funny girls. Stephanie Simbari and Scout Durwood from the show Funny Girls on Oxygen. These are my girls, and they're very fucking funny, and they're coming up next.
Yeah, coming up next. We'll be right back. Thank you for doing this, by the way.
Thanks for having
this
us.
This is cool.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
You guys. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's What's a up? Pleasure.
So you guys are...
Sorry, I got wrapped up in...
You guys are promoting your big show. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's out now?
Yeah, it's third episode tonight.
Wow.
What?
8 Central.
Yeah.
Only on Oxygen.
Yeah. Boom, boom. So this is...
But we're
this
like is, robots. We're like, only on Oxygen.
Watch our show. It is on TV.
So this is a big deal for you guys. Let's be honest. You're out here in Hollywood. I've seen you about the store. I saw your parents at the store.
Yeah, you met my mom.
Yeah, or your mom.
You guys flirted.
Right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you got the show. I know Jason Sands produced it, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't
I
you?
Let you guys film at the store.
No, you did not, Pauly.
No?
It,
you guys didn't
that?
Film?
No.
I told you you could film at the store.
Shut the fuck up.
Jamar, didn't you say, right?
Yeah.
Up in his office.
There. No, at first when we couldn't film at the store, I was upset because I do feel like that's a big part of my, like, L.A. comedy.
A big part of L.A. comedy.
What was that? In the pilot, like, what was that place that you guys were performing at that wasn't Sal's?
The one where we
Echo?
It was like had like a white background.
Oh, it's West Side Comedy.
Oh, that's a set. It's West Side, but it's
but
a set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. They've made it like chic.
Huh.
Or whatever.
That wall travels with us.
Yeah.
It's also the green screen in the interviews.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Behind
so,
the music.
So you're from originally
Westchester, New York.
What and you're from
Kansas City. Uh huh.
And you do burlesque?
So I started as a comedian in...
Now it's all about her. You can go sit over there. Oh. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Right there. Whoa. Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
I started as a comedian in burlesque and then was doing well and was doing mostly at that point singing in shows.
Mm.
And then I got engaged and I was like, man, I'm either going to settle down and be a real human
wow.
or I'm going to go on tour the rest of my life. And I was like, I'm going to settle down. I moved to LA. We broke up and I was like, I'm sticking with this decision. And 3 years later, here I am. So, I still go back to New York and do stuff though.
So when you do burlesque, what is that? It's just like, I mean,
well, burlesque is like any, so.
Cause you, I mean, so you show your body a lot.
Yeah, I did for a while. I was very, but I did like the naked comedy show. Huh. Yeah, I was super performance arty, very below 14th Street chic.
Wow.
But my.
You ever been to the box? You ever been to the box in New York?
Yeah. And the box has a Dubai. I used to sing for them. Huh. And that's like,
because that's a pretty risque show. Have you been to the box in New York?
No.
Tell them about the box. Well, it's insane.
The box is like, and they don't call what they do burlesque, and we don't call it burlesque, but it kind of is. They do like full nudity. They do like insertion numbers, which are
Ari,
like,
insertion numbers.
What are insertion?
What's going on?
Can you get me free tickets?
Yeah, we can go.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, what is
it's
that?
It's like
how
putting,
many fingers you can insert in someone and how much it costs.
Like Deity Delgado has a number.
Who?
Deity
Delgado. You know who Deity Delgado is?
No, well.
Deity Delgado.
Okay.
Yeah. She does a number where she like gives birth on stage and then eats the baby, like as a piece. Or like Rosewood is trans, and so she has a giant penis and also huge boobs, and she'll do like anal insertion number, like where she
insertion. I was right.
Yeah, it's
It's sexual.
It's sexual.
Performance.
And Tim Miller.
But I always sang and I was always goofy, and that was kind of my thing. But yeah, like I've been naked a lot on stage.
Wow,
I was on Howard
Stern.
Crazy.
Are you on Howard Stern?
Emotionally and physically.
So who are some of your like people you look up to? Because I know growing up for me, it was Sam Kennison, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. So who for you?
For me, it's been like
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. Like Maria.
It's true though. We all grew up watching Cosby, yeah. He was a really big part of our childhood, and I feel like just because that shit happened, like, can we still say that? Like, do I have to erase my good memories just because he?
No,
he'll do it for you.
Yeah, like, can I just have that?
No, it made me. I was sad.
Yeah, you were sad.
Yeah. I was sad.
I didn't care
at all.
I was like, yeah, get that pussy.
Has the guys ever like roofied you to have sex with you guys or whatever?
No,
he did.
I've never been roofied. I just usually want to do it.
I think they're immune to it.
Yeah.
And you guys,
Stephanie's immune to it.
So who's your
my growing up, I was like a Steve Martin junkie.
Steve Martin,
and so for me,
so you like the jerk,
yeah. Uh-oh. But for me, that's where that's where all like physical comedy turned into. Like burlesque just started off as physical comedy, mm-hmm. and then it turned into singing, and then that turned back into musical stand up stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I have one
what
woman musical,
Sandra Bernhardt.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
She does a lot of singing and stuff like
yes.
that. Yeah. Tell us your Instagram and your Twitter right now, please.
That's just okay. @ Scout Durwood.
A lot of the audience is going to listen to this, and they're going to want to look at to see who's talking, and they're going to want to know personal things about you, and that's where I come in. Are you on Tinder?
I'm not on Tinder. I don't.
Are you on JSwipe?
I'm not into online dating at all.
But have you done it?
I've done it. And? I've tried it. I went on one Tinder date. And he was perfectly nice, and
nice
he was good looking,
and he was in the show.
No, the show was just a blind date that they set me up on. Nicole went on Tinder dates in the show in episode 3, but back to back hilarious.
Spoiler.
So you're not seeing anyone right now?
No, I kind of took a break. What I've been doing?
Tell us your Twitter and your Instagram. Tell us your Twitter and your Instagram so everyone can see you right now.
@StephSimbari. On both.
Okay.
Simbari is like Simba with an R I.
You're really good at Instagram. I'm a fan of your work on Instagram.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, that means a lot to me. Yeah.
So, what's the type of guy that you go out with? Or who? What's your? Would you go out with a comedian? I think it kind of makes sense in a way to go out with a comedian.
Yeah.
Only reason, like, I know Tom Green's girlfriend doesn't. She opened for him? Do you know that or you don't know that?
Is that Aaron? I know Aaron Darling opens for him. I don't know if that's
Yeah, I know that just because it seems like it makes sense.
Well,
yeah. Because if for a comic, you're always on the road. You might as well have the person that you're with. So
exactly.
You would date.
And like, who's really going to understand? Like, it takes a lot to date someone who like really gets like, okay, so I'm going to be like out at night. There's going to be like a lot of guys around. I'm probably going to be like flirting with them. Some of them are going to make me see their dick. Jamar's gonna finger me. Like, things are gonna happen or whatever. So, ew, what is that sound? Is that how it sounds?
That was me fingering you just now.
That's disgusting.
You're not doing
so much.
So you would go out with a comedian?
No, I would. I mean, I definitely slept with comedians.
And then, so personally, so you still haven't answered the question.
Okay, what is it? Who do I want to?
Yeah.
No, here's the thing. I for a long time, like a few years. He has to look exactly like Jamar. I haven't been trying to date, but I've been just like sleeping with people. But then I started to realize that was like not satisfying me. Mm. And I actually do want to be in a relationship. So I'm just trying to like.
And
not
she called me, but I was like, Stephanie, stop texting all the time.
Yeah, like I'm just really bad with text. Just don't judge me for it. So I'm trying to not even think about it and just be open to like, if I meet someone, I go out with them. Maybe don't sleep with them right away. I don't know. Right now I'm in a phase where I'm like,
do you ever
I
get
no
like
idea.
Super horny? And you just want to fuck? Or
yeah, well that's what I've been doing.
Yeah,
and like then I'll try to hold out, and then like I'll be like, I'm just gonna wait till I find someone that I like, and then it's like been months.
And
I'm
then
like,
do you
I
sometimes
fuck
just,
anybody because I'm?
Do you just do? Do you like the oral sex?
Not anybody.
Do you like the oral sex and the giving and the receiving the oral sex?
Yeah, sure.
You like it both, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anal.
I've never done it.
Really?
Ass lick.
I used to tell my ex-boyfriend that when he got a divorce, he could have my ass, but...
Right.
But he broke up before he got divorced, so...
And then what... So she's kind of, like, teetering and stuff, and then what about you?
I am a lesbian.
Bi.
What?
Oh! She's bisexual.
She's bi.
Yeah, so you're bisexual.
When I moved here, yeah. I went. I
well, yeah, because you were off engaged. An engagement ring. Yeah, you were engaged, wow. Right?
To a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, to a woman. Uh-huh. Okay.
To
okay.
A woman.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're straight lesbian.
I'm a lesbian now.
Straight lesbian.
Always.
Always.
Bye. I had a. Mm-hmm. You're. That's me. You don't know.
Straight guys with a lot of testosterone just can't understand you not wanting their dick. So they have to put you in the bi category. Otherwise,
why do you say I'm bi?
Huh?
Why do you say I'm bi? Knowing because, you know enough about me.
Because I've heard some conversation with you that you've had at a certain place, and I was at the like, oh, okay, she'll dabble.
Mm. I don't recall this conversation.
I remember certain things.
So have you always been lesbian?
That's how I know your name.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't super sexual,
yeah.
And then I was gay.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
So for all the females out there, who would you want to shtup?
Okay.
The females.
Jamar Neighbors.
Yeah. No, who's the sexy girl?
I took for a fuck.
I'm right here. Stephanie Simbari. I don't... who do I think is super pretty? Kristen Stewart, but I think she might be dull in conversation.
Mm. Mm.
That's definitely the card she's been playing
Whitney?
Culturally.
Whitney Cummings?
Yeah. She already got the name.
I know who you like.
Who?
Fortune Feimster.
Fortune, I think, is
I love
hilarious.
Fortune. She's the best.
I know, but would you let her, like, you know, she's pretty fucking horny.
I think I know her too well.
We sent naked pictures of girls back and forth to each other.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so great.
She is so awesome. She's like, look at this one.
That's hilarious. But I feel like we get away with it. Like, I for sure objectify my friends, and they're like, that's so funny. But I think if I were a dude, they'd be like, nah, not nice.
It's fun.
Well, thank you guys for sitting down with us.
That's it?
Good luck. Good luck at the store.
Yeah, bye.
I hope it works out for
Bali.
You. I'll see you on the lesbian circuit.
Okay, good.
Later, guys.
Bye.
Whoa, bro. I saw you were all over her. What's up with that? Huh?
It's Stephanie Simbari, man.
Mm.
It's Scout Durwood. Scout Durwood is wearing nothing right now.
She wasn't wearing anything.
Yeah, man. So
yeah.
How'd you expect me that?
Yeah.
I'm an animal.
All right. What's your Twitter, your Instagram?
At Jamar Neighbors.
Check it out. And this is Pauly Shore signing off on the Pauly Shore podcast show from the Boa Steakhouse on the Sunset Strip. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.